I can appreciate that some people think the church is out of touch, but we don't have a choice. The bottom line becomes, if we stopped proclaiming the good news, we wouldn't be doing what Christ requires of us. So the question is not whether we can, but how do we do it? And how do we do it as successfully as we can? For my money, I think that there are a couple of things we need to be very careful of. One is, if we choose to compete with the secular media on its own terms, we'll lose, because we don't have the same resources. So we can't do a Catholic RTE. We can't build that up. Public government officials and bureaucracies are flat out keeping up with the sort of money that's needed for that sort of thing. And of course, we can't get into the commercial side of things. So we won't have the resources. But that doesn't mean we can't do powerful things already. And I think, again, we go back to Jesus as the best example of a great communicator. And that is to tell stories, life-giving, passionate, uplifting human stories that touch the human heart. There is nothing more powerful, I believe, than people actually telling their own deep, passionate, spiritual story about the very best of being a human being and being a faith-filled human being. It moves people deeply. And there are a couple of ways we can do it. Firstly, we can do it through how we actually behave towards one another and tell the good news. Most Catholics in Ireland, as in Australia, wouldn't even know of the extraordinary contribution to this day that the Church makes in making the world a better place every single day. And so just telling that story, getting that out there, that's not spin, that's just telling our community about, in Christ's name, we're looking after the poor, we're educating people, and we're caring for the sick. We're actually pastoring people in parishes as best we can. Secondly, I think we've got a great responsibility to tell people stories that are interesting and open up their worlds. So of great courage, of hope, of people that have come back to the faith when they thought that in fact that they had lost their faith, when other people who have stayed faithful in and through the most colossal and difficult times in their life, they're very uplifting stories and they can't be denied. Even the biggest cynic can't say, well, you didn't have that experience or you don't believe what you're saying. As long as we tell it immediately, sincerely and truthfully, then they're fantastic stories. And then I think we use all the media we possibly can. And this came out at the end of the synod that has concluded in Rome not long ago, that we can use radio is a terribly immediate thing, which we're using right now. Television's extremely important to use that as best we can. But even the new technologies, podcasting, iPods, downloading, blogging sites, the internet generally, all provide wonderful opportunities for us to get our story out there in a more cost-effective way. And then I think we can actually be true to Christ sending us out to proclaim the good news.
But many religious, we'll start with them first, be they nuns, priests, or people in religious orders, brothers, are very suspicious of the media, particularly in Ireland.
I think that that's because we feel fairly bruised by it. And I understand that. The Irish experience, similar to the Australian experience, is where the media has been fairly hostile to us. But in fact, we need to take stock of that. There have been some chapters in both the church's history recently which have been pretty bruising and horrendous, primarily for victims. And they're the people we always have to keep our first and foremost our eyes on. But it wasn't a good news story for the church, it was a bad news story. So we've just got to admit that. But that doesn't mean we get trapped there, as though then we have to write off the media as always being hostile to our experience, to what we have to say, because that's not true either. The bottom line is, if you want to be in the fray of a public discussion or debate, you're sometimes going to get roughed up. And if you're going to set a high moral standard for other people, which the gospel and the church certainly calls all of us to, then that very high moral standard is going to be demanded of us. So that's understandable. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we don't go back in there, bruised and battered as we might be, for what's been a searing experience of the church being held up to account for its own behaviour, then we can get back there to tell the stories that need to be told in a way that's most accessible. The second thing I'd encourage our own religious priests, nuns and bishops to do is not to be frightened of entertainment. A church has been deeply suspicious of entertainment. But again, if we go back to the parables and look at what Jesus did and how he did, he entertained people. He told them wonderful stories that weren't very religious. He told them about events in people's lives and about women who lost coins and shepherds who lost sheep. And he gave them everyday experiences in very accessible language. We need to be very careful about getting too serious for our own sake, of talking about the gospel only in highbrow theology and very sophisticated ecclesiastical language. When we're following the Lord found that everyday examples in everyday language were the most evocative and the most effective in proclaiming the good news. And also, they were pretty entertaining. So even finding fora to talk to our people through the popular media of the day, while having a lighter touch, which doesn't mean the things we're talking about aren't serious. It just means we own their seriousness so much that we can actually say it in a way that is in fact entertaining, enjoyable and engaging. And then people listen very strongly.